Okay, so my name is Dan Gillespie. I'm a master's student at The Ohio State University, working in Dr. Sherry Kubota's lab, and today I'll be presenting our work on the effects of low-nutrient solution pH on hydroponic leafy green plant growth, nutrient concentration, and Pythium zoospore infection. So hydroponic leafy green production in controlled environments has become an increasingly popular alternative to open field production. This is due to many different reasons, but two of the big reasons are the increased demand for localized food production and then very sanitary growing environments. So you can greatly reduce the threat of your produce being contaminated by human pathogens like E. coli if you keep your operations clean. And currently, there's very large demand for locally grown basil and spinach. However, of the leafy greens grown hydroponically, these two crops seem to be particularly susceptible to Pythium infections. And so for Pythium infections in general, there's very limited control options, and there's even less of these control options are registered for use in greenhouses or indoor environments. So we chose to work with basil and spinach as our model species for this work, as these are the most susceptible to Pythium of the leafy greens grown hydroponically. So Pythium is an old mycete pathogen. It infects plant roots, causing damping off, root and stem rot, and reduced yields. So Pythium reproduces both sexually and asexually. The result of sexual reproduction is this sexual resting spore, which is called an oospore. And this is the primary infection propagule. And this oospore contains a thick cell wall. So typically a Pythium infection will be initiated by this oospore. And then once the Pythium infection is established, it will begin to produce the asexual motile zoospore. So this is typically how Pythium is dispersed to neighboring plants and throughout hydroponic systems. And these zoospores are quite fragile because they lack a cell wall. And they've been shown to be negatively affected by pHs less than 5.0, both the motility of the zoospore and the production of the zoospore. However, we typically grow our crops hydroponically in a pH range of 5.5 to 6.5, as nutrient uptake and nutrient availability seems to be optimized within this range. However, some species may have a much wider pH range than this 5.5 to 6.5 range and even exhibit improved growth outside of this range. So that's kind of what we hypothesize. We hypothesize that crops can actually tolerate a much wider range than this 5.5 to 6.5 range and be grown in a lower than conventional pH without significant plant growth inhibitions where the growth and reproduction of Pythium may be reduced. So this was really a two-phase study. So the first phase of this was our pH studies where we used basil and spinach. And the objective here was to really examine the influence that pH has on plant growth and nutrient concentration of the leaf tissue. But really what we wanted to answer was what pH can basil and spinach be grown in without significant reductions in plant growth? The second phase of this study was taking what we've learned from these pH studies and applying it to this Pythium challenge study to determine if low pH can effectively reduce Pythium disease incidence and severity. So focusing on our basil and spinach pH studies to start here. So we utilized a randomized complete block design for this study where basil was grown in a greenhouse and spinach was grown in a growth chamber. The reason for this difference was we just did not have access to a growth chamber at the start of this experiment. Once we gained access to the growth chamber, we moved the project down there to allow for more experimental control and environmental uniformity. We grew two basil cultivars, which were Dolce Fresca and Nufar, and then one spinach cultivar, which was Corvair. Everything was grown in deep water culture hydroponic systems. And our pH treatments were 4.0, 4.5, 5.0, and 5.5. So the way we evaluated this is we looked at plant growth responses, the fresh and dry root and shoot mass, the number of leaves per plant, the height of basil plants. We also looked at the nutrient concentration of the leaf tissue to investigate the effect that pH was having on nutrient uptake and nutrient availability. And then we played a two-way NOVA with a 2K HSD mean separation and a regression analysis. So what we found with basil was quite surprising. We found that basil growth was not significantly affected by a pH of 4.0 to 5.5. And we saw this with all our plant growth responses that we evaluated. We also see in these pictures here that we saw no symptomology of visible nutrient disorders. So we see no significant differences in growth and no visible nutrient disorders in a pH of 4.0 to 5.5 in basil. And this is just a graphical representation of that. So again, here's the fresh leaf mass and the fresh root mat of basil. And again, we see no significant differences across these pH treatments. However, with spinach, we see a much different response. We see with spinach is much more sensitive to pH. So here we're looking at the spinach fresh and shoot and root mass. And if we look at the shoot mass where we have pH on the x-axis here, we're seeing a linear decrease in shoot mass as pH decreases with significant reductions in shoot mass at pHs below 5.0. We see a similar trend with the root mass, although it's nonlinear, and then we see significant reductions in root mass at pHs below 4.5. And this is just, if we look at the morphology of the spinach growth, the pictures of the spinach growth here, we see the spinach at a pH of 4.0 is severely inhibited. We see severe inhibitions in shoot and root growth. And especially if we look at the root growth at a pH of 4.0, we see that the roots really avoided the nutrient solution and didn't really want to grow into that nutrient solution. They really just formed a root ball around the rock wool plug. So what this indicates to me is that at a pH of 4.0, it seems to be that the direct effect of acidity was inhibiting spinach growth at 4.0. So the direct effect of acidity is inhibiting that spinach growth at 4.0. However, if we look at a pH of 4.5, we see normal morphology, normal shoot growth. It is reduced compared to the higher pH levels, but we see normal plant growth at a pH of 4.5. So what this indicates is that it may not have been the direct effect of acidity that was limiting spinach growth at 4.5, but rather the reduced nutrient uptake that was inhibiting the spinach growth at 4.5. So as opposed to the direct effect of acidity inhibiting growth at 4.0, we see the normal morphology at 4.5, which indicates that maybe it was the reduced nutrient uptake, which in turn was reducing spinach growth at 4.5. And if we look at the nutrient concentration, the leaf tissue, we see that the nutrient concentration is decreasing with decreasing pH. So I'm just showing three nutrients here. We have magnesium on the top, manganese and zinc on the bottom. However, we see this trend with almost all the nutrients, and especially the cation nutrients. So we see a linear decrease in nutrient concentration of the leaf tissue as pH decreases. And we have both basil and spinach plotted on these graphs here, where basil is represented by the blue circle, spinach is represented by the orange triangle. So again, the main takeaway from this slide here is that we see this linear decrease in nutrient concentration of the leaf tissue with decreasing pH. And we see this in both species, and we see this with almost all nutrients, so not just these ones being displayed. So what this indicates is that the species nutrient requirement for sufficient growth seems to play a role in response to pH. So whereas basil had a seemingly low nutrient requirement and could tolerate reductions in nutrient uptake without reductions in plant growth, spinach could not tolerate the reduction in nutrient uptake or the nutrient concentration in the leaf tissue without plant growth being inhibited. And this seemingly low nutrient requirement for basil is further supported by additional studies with Dr. Curry and Kelly Jean Walters, where basil grew equally well in a nutrient solution EC of 0.5 to 4.0. So a very low fertility level of 0.5 decisiemens per meter. So this seems to be that basil has a very seemingly low nutrient requirement, which helps explain its tolerance to these low pH levels that it could be grown in without significant reductions in plant growth. So again, the species nutrient requirement for sufficient growth seems to play a role in the species-specific response to pH, where low nutrient requirements seem to be an advantage to grow crops at low pHs. And then although the spinach growth was reduced at a pH of 4.5, as again, we did see that the spinach displayed normal plant growth at a pH of 4.5. So an interesting follow-up to this, would Kennan adjusted nutrient solution enhance the nutrient uptake and alleviate the growth reduction we saw at spinach at a pH of 4.5? And what I mean by that is instead of growing at an EC of 1.5, which is what we use in this experiment, maybe growing at an EC of 2.5 or 3.0, would that allow nutrient uptake to be enhanced and alleviate these growth reductions that we saw in spinach at 4.5? So now that we've seen that basil could be grown at a pH as low as 4.0, the next step here was to take this and determine if growing basil at a pH of 4.0 can effectively reduce Pythium disease incidence and severity. So this study was conducted in a growth chamber. We used basil cultivar Nufar, and we utilized a randomized complete block design with 8 replications per treatment, and a 2x2 factorial treatment structure with our low pH treatment of 4.0, and our conventional pH treatment. So our high pH treatment was maintained in a conventional range of 5.5 to 6.5. At each of these pH levels, we had an inoculated nutrient solution and a non-inoculated nutrient solution. And the nutrient solution was inoculated with Pythium aphanidomatum zoospores 5 days subsequent to transplant at a concentration of 3.13 times 10 to the third zoospores per milliliter. And this concentration was preliminary tested to induce disease symptomology and induce a Pythium infection. After 19 days of growth, or 14 days after inoculation, plants were harvested for analysis. So again, we looked at similar responses, our plant growth responses, so our fresh and dried leaf stem and root mass, the plant height and root length, and employed a two-way ANOVA with the two-key HSD mean separation. So what we found was actually very exciting. We found that disease symptomology was almost exclusively limited to our high pH inoculated treatment. And we saw almost no disease symptomology in our pH 4.0 inoculated treatment. And this was confirmed to be a Pythium infection by confirming the presence of oospores in the roots following data analysis. So again, we see almost no disease symptomology in our low pH inoculated treatment or any of the other treatments besides this pH 5.5 inoculated treatment, which is showing classic Pythium disease symptomology of root browning, discoloration. But not only do we see increased disease symptomology in this treatment, we also see significant reductions in plant growth at a pH 5.5 inoculated treatment, but we do not see these significant reductions in our pH 4.0 inoculated treatment. So here we're looking at the fresh leaf mass, and again, we see this pH 5.5 inoculated treatment showing significant reductions in fresh leaf mass. And we see the same trend with fresh stem mass here. So again, pH 5.5 inoculated treatment is showing significant reductions in fresh stem mass, whereas our pH 4.0 inoculated treatment is significantly higher. If we look at root mass, we see a similar trend, although the pH 5.5 inoculated treatment is comparable with our pH 4.0 treatments. At pH 4.0, the inoculated did not seem to have effect on root mass, where the inoculated at pH 5.5 is showing significantly reduced compared to that same pH level. So what this indicates, or what these results indicate, is that a pH 4.0 can effectively suppress Pythium aphanidomatum disease incidence after a zoospore inoculation without influencing basal plant growth. And this is a very low-cost strategy. Sulfuric acid, or just acid and fertilizer costs in general, are very minimal in hydroponic crop production, so it's less than pennies to lower your pH from conventional range to a lower pH of 4.0. So this study was conducted after a zoospore inoculation. However, if we think back to the beginning, I did mention that the Pythium oospores do contain the presence of a cell wall. So they're likely very less sensitive to pH stress. So a Pythium infection still could occur at a pH of 4.0 by an oospore. However, I also mentioned that the zoospores are the primary dispersal propagule. So even though a Pythium infection may still be established at a pH of 4.0 by an oospore, the dispersal through zoospores should be greatly reduced at a pH of 4.0. So what we can conclude from this is that basal plant growth was not significantly affected by a pH of 4.0 to 5.5, whereas spinach growth was reduced in a pH below 5.0. These species-specific responses to pH seems to be due to the nutrient requirement differences between these crops. So basil could tolerate the reductions in nutrient uptake, whereas spinach could not without reductions in plant growth. But the main takeaway here is that a pH of 4.0 can effectively suppress Pythium aphanidomatum disease incidence after zoospore inoculation without influencing basal plant growth. So growing crops at a pH of 4.0 is an effective, low-cost, sustainable disease management strategy for crops that can tolerate continuous exposure to low pH. So with that, I'd just like to thank my advisor, Dr. Sherry Kubota, all the Kubota lab members, my committee members, Dr. Jones and Dr. Sally Miller, as well as many other people at the Ohio State Department of Horticulture and Crop Science. And with that, thank you everyone for your attention. Thank you for sticking around, and I could take any questions at this time. Could you, I missed the beginning of that question, I'm sorry. Water temperature. So we monitored water temperature, but that's not specifically what we're looking at. When we were in the growth chamber for this inoculation study, it was pretty consistent throughout. So I would say with this, we did not see an effect of temperature.
Given that we today have a very healthy microbial community, mm-hmm.
Do
I'm speculating here, but I would think the low pH definitely has an effect on the overall microbial community. I'm not sure how, if it decreases, increases, but... It's a good question. My expectation would be no, because I would still think the dispersal and the production of the zoospore is going to be decreased regardless at this low pH, because it's the zoospore that's so negatively affected by these low pHs. So my expectation was the intensity would still be decreased because of the production and the motility or the ability of the zoospore to establish an infection, which is typically how the infection is dispersed, would be reduced. I check it about 3 times a day. And I used a fairly large nutrient solution, so it was a pretty big buffering capacity, so large volumes and minimal plants. Yeah.
And thanks for your talk.
Thank you.
I would be careful about your conclusion that it's nutrients that limit
your mm-hmm.
spending. Your data don't show nutrient deficiencies.
Right. That's true. That's a good point. So it could be. Yep. Sure. It.
And the line slope, if the nutrient line slope in the opposite direction, then I would expect usually less pH.
Right. That's actually what we expected as well. So we were pretty surprised by that. And I think what's happening there is that as the pH decreases, the increased concentration of hydrogen ions is competitively inhibiting the uptake of cation nutrients. So the hydrogen ions are occupying binding sites on the roots and inhibiting cation uptake.
And calcium is a
big thing for that. So we actually didn't see much of a significant trend with calcium. We couldn't really plot a linear decrease with that. Yeah.
Did you have
ammonia
in the solution, or was it all
100% nitrate in the nutrient solution?
That helps.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Anything else? Yep.
Do you know, how long an exposure to the low pH the zoospores need to be broken down or taken care of?
So, yeah, there's actually... The question was how long of an exposure to low pH do the zoospores need? I don't know exactly, but there's been studies that have shown that the motility of the zoospore reduces to below an hour at these low pHs that we were testing. So it could be up to 24 hours, the zoospore motility, but then at these low pHs, the motility is less than an hour, as other research has shown.
Thank you.
We did not. We only observed Pythium on the roots at a pH 5.5 in our inoculated treatment. We confirmed under a microscope the presence of the oospores in our pH 5.5 inoculated treatment, but we did not observe any Pythium in our low pH treatment under the microscope. So that was a visual. Anything else? Okay. I'm going to call it at that. Thank you, everyone.